We're holding in Tanda Be'eliyahu, the second chapter, the 14th paragraph. And we had been analyzing the verse in the beginning of Tehillim's 19th chapter, in which it states, Yom Le'yom Yabea Omer. Day to day induces us to sing out God's praise. And we've had different explanations of this verse, and now the Medrash is going to give us another one. The Medrash says, Davar Acher, another understanding of this, is Yom Le'yom Yabea Omer, day to day inspires us to say, this is a reference to Zeh Torah Nevi'im Uchtuvim. This is a reference to the Tanakh. And the Tanakh is referred to, is alluded to with the term Yom, day to day. The Torah, the written Torah, we learn by day. And the oral Torah, we learn by night. Sfaradim are very careful about this. But as Ashkenazim, we don't have to worry about it. But the written Torah, the Tanakh, one is supposed to learn during the daytime hours. And the oral law, one is supposed to learn during the nighttime hours. When I heard this, I used to have a Seder in Tanakh at night. And then I said, okay, I'll be real religious. I won't do my Tanakh at night. And I never got back to that Seder in Tanakh. It's been years. So I wouldn't recommend this. Like, leave this for the Mkubalim. If you learn your Tanakh at night, learn your Tanakh at night. On a spiritual level, so the Tanakh is more is more like the day, and the oral law is more like the night. And we could understand this on another level as well. The Tanakh is relatively easy. You take the written law, you read it, you can understand it. You add a little bit of an explanation from our sages. It's easier to understand and easier to swallow. We know that when God came to the Jewish people and said, "I want to give you the written law," they said, "Naaseh v'nishma." God said, "I want to give you the oral law." They said, "No way." And then God picked up they didn't say no way, but they were thinking no way. And that's when God had to pick up the mountain and hold it above them and say, "Now take it or die." And then they said, "Yeah, right, we'll take it, yeah." And it took a few hundred years until the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash during the story of Purim. Only then were the Jews willingly accepting of the oral law. So the oral law is difficult. The oral law is like night. Oral law, you stumble, you try to figure out, what is this Gemara saying? What is that Gemara saying? What does this Mishnah mean? What does that Mishnah mean? How do we reconcile them? The oral law is difficult. So the oral law is compared to the night. The written law is far easier, and that's why it's compared to day. So day to day demands of us to speak forth God's praise. That's a reference to the written law. That's the written law is referred to as the day. That's a Torah v'im uchtuvim. Ve'layla le'layla yechavedat, and night to night implores of us to have understanding, have knowledge. That's a reference to the Mishnayot, Elu HaMishnayot. That the Mishnayot are the basis of the oral law, and they are referred to as the night. The verse continues, En omer ve'en devarim. There's no speech, nothing is said. Beli nishma kolam. We don't hear their voice, but nonetheless, this is what they implore of us, to sing God's praise. What's this referring to? Elu halachot. These are the halachos that really, that's reference to the Gemara. When it comes to learning Gemara and learning halacha, so Chazal derived from the verse in Song of Songs and Shir Hashirim, King Solomon says, Chamukei yerechayich. Your hidden inner thigh is, he describes, that's like, and that's a reference to the Torah, the halachos, the Gemara. That just like one's thigh is hidden, we wear pants, we wear a skirt, so too the words of the Torah are supposed to be hidden. When we want to learn halacha, we have to sit in a quiet place. Medrash, we don't go out in the marketplace and start discussing Gemara. When it comes to Gemara, you want to learn Gemara, you have to sit down in a quiet, secluded place, in a modest place, place where other people don't see you. Just like the thigh is in a modest place where no one sees it, so too the learning of Gemara, the learning of halacha, has to be in a quiet, modest place. Yeah?
In the Beit Midrash, there's always people screaming.
Like, yeah, but they're still not standing in the marketplace and screaming. They've gone to a place, the Beit Midrash, which is set aside from learning Gemara and halacha.
But it's still noise.
Yeah, they quiet doesn't mean necessarily literally quiet. It means as opposed to the marketplace, Ben Yehuda.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it okay to learn Torah on a bus? Because the problem is, usually on the bus you can't be sure they are not only religious people. So the problem is that people use words, you should use
So the words aren't the problem. As far as learning on a bus, this is a reference to publicizing, to standing in a public square and sitting there learning Chavrusa, learning Gemara. If a person is sitting on a bus and he wants to learn Gemara quietly to himself, it's not a problem. The only problem that there might be is if someone is dressed immodestly, and then one can avoid it either if one can't see it from his vantage point, or if one thinks the words and doesn't say them. God says, "V'lo yira'e b'cha irvat davar v'shav me'acharecha." God says he doesn't want to be in our midst when our private parts are uncovered. So we know that private parts expands to anything that halachically should be covered. So, like a woman's wearing short sleeves or something like that. So then, so long as one can see it from his vantage point, one would not be able to mouth the words that he's learning. One would have to think them. So he could still learn.
So great, and does it move his eyes? So he won't gaze out and look at like a naked lady or anything. You just right in the floor.
So if the way he's facing, meaning if he's facing this way, he can't see it. He'll have to pick up his head in order to see it. So then, according to the Shulchan Aruch, he may even say the words. Others disagree, but then he might get right. The verse continues, "Bechol ha'aretz yatzak kavam." Their course has gone throughout the land. That's the course that the sun and the night take. And their counsel, they teach us that we have to praise God, so that expands throughout the land, even though they don't speak. Eilu hagadot. These are the midrashim. These are the stories of the Shas, the stories that our sages taught us, Shem Kadshin, Shemo Hagadol Behen. That through the Medrash, through the Agadah, through the stories that Chazal taught us, through them we have the sanctification of God's great name. And this teaches us a very important perspective when it comes to the stories of Chazal. Very often people feel like, I want to learn Gemara, so I want to learn Halacha. I came to Yeshiva to learn, not to hear all the stories. And we have to know that the stories have a special weight. Here we see the Medrash describing them as, through them we sanctify God's name. There are other places that the Medrash says, if you want to gain Yiras Shamayim, if you want to gain to be a God-fearing person, then learn the Midrashim as well. It's important to incorporate that into our learning. There's a story about a Hasidish Rebbe, I think it was the Baal HaTanya, that they had hired a teacher for the kids, a Rebbe, and they were interviewing this Rebbe, and they asked him, are you going to tell the kids stories about the previous Rebbes? So the Rebbe said, no, you're hiring me to teach them Torah, so I'm going to sit and teach them the Chumash and the Mishnah, but stories, they don't need me for stories. So the Rebbe said, then we can't hire you to teach the kids, because part of your job is to instill in the children Yiras Shamayim. And in order for a person to be a God-fearing person, one of the things he needs are the stories. The stories touch our heart where the halachos don't touch our heart and the Torah doesn't touch our heart. Stories can touch where other things can't. They explain over here that ordinarily, in order for a story to have its true effect, it must be told over. A person has to be a good storyteller. And that's why the stories of Chazal are called Haggadah. Haggadah comes from the word higid, to tell over. The stories really shouldn't be written because you can't really encompass the message that a story should hold in writing. A good storyteller, sometimes his voice is lower, sometimes it's louder, sometimes he yells, sometimes he pauses for silence, for effect. How can you get all that in writing? You can't really tell a good story unless someone's telling it. But Chazal prayed and they asked Hashem to have divine guidance so that the stories that they wrote would affect us as if they were standing here telling us the story. And especially if you have someone who's like a Chacham or a Tzaddik, that he's giving a drasha and he wants to affect the people who are listening. So then when he tells a story, we say he has special siyata d'shmaya and it's worth listening. But the Medrash, to sum up what we saw tonight, the Medrash is breaking up these words in the Pasuk. That when the Pasuk says that day to day implores of us to say God's praise. That's a reference to the Tanakh, which is like the day in its clarity. That's supposed to be learned ideally by day. Laila lelaila yichavedas, and night to night tells over the knowledge of God's running the world. That's a reference to Mishnayot, the oral law, which is like the nighttime, supposed to be learned by night, right? We know before we go to sleep, when we wake up, we're supposed to learn Mishnah, Otiyot Neshama. Mishnah and Neshama are the same letters. And the Mishnah is ideally should be learned at night. And the Mishnah is like the nighttime. You read a Mishnah, go figure out what the Mishnah is telling you. You read five Mishnayot, you suddenly see contradictions, go figure out how to rectify those contradictions. You read the oral law, it's complicated, so that's not like the night. En omer ven dvarim bli nishma kolam, no one's actually overtly saying it, it's all without the voice being heard. That's a reference to the halacha, to the Gemara, that's said in a more modest fashion. But they've managed to encompass all of the land. That's a reference to the Agada, that the Midrashim, they are the ones that really sanctify God's name. Through them we connect the people. And that's, by the way, why Chazal spiced their teachings with stories, because that's what got the people to come in. Everyone's always drawn to a story. I was standing at an affair a few weeks ago, and they had one speech after another speech after another speech, and people were finished, their nerves were shot. It's Friday night and everyone was tired, they wanted the meal to end. And then they had told me in advance they wanted me to speak, but they didn't tell me that I'd have like 10 people preceding me and that no one would have patience by the time I got up there. So I said, okay, they called on me to speak, and I said, you know what? I said to myself, I don't stand a chance, no one's going to want to listen to me any more than the guy before me. So I just got up there and told the story, and suddenly everyone was quiet. I just told the story, and then I gave the message from the story. But most of what I said was a story, because the story always gets people. People are interested in the story. So that's why the story, the Medrash says, that's what expands throughout the land, that's what can capture people. A good story.
They go up there and say, yeah, this is written, and this is written, and that's what happened. After 5 minutes, everybody's sleeping already.
So if you mention that, I'll tell you something that I don't know. When I used to learn by Rav Tessin Zatzal, so his shiurim were very deep. He could sit for a week on one word in the Gemara. And he gave class every day of the week, including Shabbos. His classes used to begin, I think, at about 5 or 5:10 in the morning. They'd run till the 6 o'clock minyan. And every morning he gave class, including Shabbos morning. And he could spend the whole week on one word, on one letter. We'd advance. You're talking about a class that learns 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And we'd advance maybe a half a page a year. That's how deep, like he'd work out every word. And when he'd give a speech before the crowd, before the Balabatim, so you'd think he'd tell a story, you'd think he'd go down to their level. Nope. He'd come up there and he'd start expounding on a deep point, on a fine point in halacha. How do you discern between this and that? And he'd speak for 45 minutes on something very, very deep. So you think, how many people could he affect, right? I mean, he's not talking on their level, he's not talking their language. When he passed away, so many, many people came to his levaya and said to his family that talking to him was like going on an elevator. He just took you up. He never came down to your level. He always brought you up to his level. And there were many people who were in his shul that initially they used to come to his classes and they didn't know how to read a word in Gemara. And at his passing, there were fine Talmidei Chachamim. So I hear what you're saying, and Chazal do instruct us, we see from Chazal, that it is important to spice our words with stories. But on the other hand, I saw Rav Tessin Zatzal didn't do it, and somehow he succeeded. And it's true that people who tell stories have a larger crowd. The question is, what impact do they have on that crowd? More people are attracted to the story, but what do they walk away with after a story? I'm not sure. I'm not sure who has more success. So I think Rav Bigun's one of his amazing talents is that his warmth and his smile conceal his seriousness. He's got an amazing amount of knowledge that he imparts in his classes, but he does it with such warmth and such a smile. Even the tone of voice with which he reads a Mishnah, you feel like he's telling you a bedtime story. He might be telling, and he goes through halachos. If you listen closely, you'll see. But he has a talent. He does it in a way that everyone feels like listening to him. You feel like it's a warm grandfather talking up there. You don't feel the seriousness. Ever try talking to him once, you'll see. It's tremendously serious. So each one has his talents.